This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Our last chance on this program to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
My goodness, it is.
It's also the last chance to get your Christmas shopping done.
It is.
So if you haven't gotten that accomplished yet,
I don't want to think about it.
Tick, tick, tock, tick, tock. Watch the clock move. Yeah, it's amazing. You have all year.
I know.
To do things like that. And isn't it just human nature?
Wait till last minute.
We just kind of put it off and put it off. There's always more time.
There's plenty of time. Yeah.
Always more time. I was telling someone the other day, they were asking about, we were talking about Christmas shopping and stuff. I said, the one Christmas that I actually did enjoy shopping was one year where we used to rotate holidays with the on-air staff here. And, there's one guy who, he always took Thanksgiving. And then if we had someone who had children, we always let them have Christmas because, that's only right.
Right.
And that year I took New Year's as my holiday. So that's when I went up to celebrate Christmas with my family. So I, being a guy, I wait till the last minute to do my shopping.
Right.
So I'm shopping after Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Good deals.
Oh, my. You know how many deals you can get shopping after Christmas?
I bet a ton.
Some good stuff. Yeah, you get some real good deals there. So, yeah, it worked out real well. And it wasn't quite as packed. The stores weren't near as packed as they are normally, but, right before Christmas. Not the part I was shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the part of the store where you shop.
Right.
The part of the store where you return, that was busy.
Oh, yeah.
But the part where you shop and buy things, yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, well, I hope you're having a Merry Christmas season and a good time. Talk about a Merry Christmas. Don't you wish your name was Elizabeth Gallagher?
I don't know why.
I bet you do.
Okay.
If your name was Elizabeth Gallagher, whew, you hit the jackpot.
Oh, really?
I saw this story on the Associated Press Wire this past week. Oh, my goodness. What a Christmas gift. A guy up in Toronto, up in Canada, he offered a free round-the-world air ticket to a woman who had the same name as his ex-girlfriend.
What?
This guy, he's 28 years old. His name is Jordan Axani. And his girlfriend at the time, Elizabeth Gallagher, they booked a heavily discounted round-the-world air ticket travel package back in May. But the relationship didn't last as long as the air tickets.
Mm.
Well, he didn't want her ticket to go to waste. He got a great deal on it. Well, the ticket had a strict no-transfer policy because it was so discounted. But since the passport information was not required when it was booked, basically it can be used by any Canadian named Elizabeth Gallagher. So I guess you'd have to move to Canada, too.
Yeah.
So what he did is he posted an offer on a social media website. He got thousands of emails, including 18 of them from actual people named Elizabeth Gallagher that had Canadian passports. And so he just went through those, and he chose his travel mate. It's 23-year-old Elizabeth Quinn Gallagher. She's a student and a part-time office administrator in Nova Scotia. He says, he said it's a strictly a platonic trip. It's going to be great. He just didn't want the ticket to go to waste.
Right.
Somebody might as well get some enjoyment out of it.
Well, yeah.
Well, he said, at first, the new Elizabeth Gallagher thought a trip with a stranger whose ex-girlfriend's name is the same as hers was a little bit crazy. But she hit it off with Axani after they talked on the phone for several hours. And she said, it definitely did seem a little bit creepy at the beginning.
Yeah.
But now that I talk to him, it's less creepy and more awesome.
Yeah.
Now, she already does have a boyfriend. So she said, this is totally sort of like as friends. She says, I have a pretty serious boyfriend. We've been together for a while and we're planning on buying a house and we have a puppy. So she said, yeah, I'm really not looking for anything along those lines
right.
at all. Now she said her boyfriend isn't really thrilled about this deal. She says he understands that I've always wanted to travel. So while he's not real happy about it, I'm taking off for nearly a month at Christmas time with a random guy. She said he's smiling through it.
Oh, very nice. And, that'd be hard to do.
Yeah, the fellow who had the tickets, this Axani, he works for an international real estate development and advisory firm. And he said the tickets were purchased for just a couple of $1,000, but their cash value today in American dollars would be somewhere between $4,400 and $6,200.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good deal.
So you hate to let it go to waste. The trip is scheduled to start this weekend, December 21st in New York City, and then they go to Milan, Prague, Paris, Bangkok, and New Delhi, and then they end back up in Toronto on January 12th. And Axani said that after the breakup, he deferred all other planning for the trip, like, making hotel reservations. But since the story became so public, Marriott International offered to put him up along with the new Elizabeth Gallagher, in separate rooms during their trip. Now, he said the trip will be documented, and they will share all the details and stuff online. He said he was so moved by some of the emails, including one that he got from an 8-year-old boy who said he was going blind and he wanted to see the world before that happens, that he and his brother created an organization called A Ticket Forward to help people who desire to see the world but lack the finances to do so.
Wow.
Who'd ever thought that a breakup with your girlfriend would turn into such
somebody else's game,
big thing like that? Yeah, so Elizabeth Gallagher's of the world, you had your shot.
You just kicked yourself if you didn't hear about it.
Well, you know, it almost does. When I first read that story, I thought, okay, that's how you're meeting girls now? Come on, man. Whatever happened to going to the grocery store or a church or a bar, wherever else people meet people these days, you know, the dating sites and stuff. But this? Really? Yeah. That's how you're going to meet girls? You know, he chose a gal who does have a serious boyfriend and serious about all that kind of stuff and whatever. So, hey, they'll work it out. Might as well go have some fun.
Right.
It will be a little awkward when she gets back, though.
Yeah.
Because she'll have this great experience and didn't get to share it with her real boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the fun, normally, of doing those kinds of things, is being able to have those shared experiences.
You can look at the pictures.
Says the woman. He'll be able to check it out one way or the other, I guess, huh?
I'm sure they'll stay in very good contact throughout the trip, too.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be calling every day.
Yeah.
Separate rooms, right?
Right.
I was looking at a story this week that was on health.com, written by a gal by the name of Cynthia Sass, and she's a contributing nutrition editor, and she counsels folks in the New York, Los Angeles areas and things like that. She's also a sports nutrition consultant to NHL and Major League Baseball teams and stuff, and she wrote an article about 7 eating habits that you should drop right now.
Oh, boy. I'm guessing I probably do all of them.
Well, it's kind of interesting because she talks about, these are all experiences that she's had working one-on-one with her clients, and she's come up with 7 different eating habits, as she said, that often, you know, breaking them is just kind of the final solution to achieving the weight loss results that really do last. And here's some hints for you as we get into the eating season, I guess. These really don't necessarily have to do with Christmas holiday eating, but more like just regular everyday habits that we have. And she said the first one is drinking too often. You know, for most of the clients, she said drinking alcohol has a domino effect. After one drink, then your inhibitions get lowered, your appetite spikes, and then that combo, in addition to the extra calories in the actual cocktail or beer, results in consuming hundreds of surplus calories. And it happens more often than they realize because most people underestimate how much they drink until they begin keeping some sort of a food diary. She said, but when they do consciously cut back, they drop weight like a hot potato. So if you think you might be in kind of the same boat, just become a teetotaler for like 30 days or commit to limiting alcohol in different ways, like just drinking one drink maybe per night or set a max of 2. And she said, you'd be surprised. The results can be dramatic. Mm-hmm. You don't think much about that. You know, sometimes you want to have some, you know, munchy food and stuff around too, and that all adds to it. Another tip she had was eating diet foods. That's another thing you should drop. She said, I loathe diet foods. First, they're usually packed with lots of unwanted additives and impossible to pronounce ingredients. And she said, let's face it, they're just not filling or satisfying. Dozens and dozens of clients have said that after eating a frozen diet entree, bar, or dessert, they were left with lingering hunger and thoughts of food, which led to nibbling on other foods, grabbing a jar of something and a spoon or a handful of cereal or maybe a second or third diet product, and you end up taking in way more calories than they would have if they had prepared a healthy, satisfying meal. And she said also, in a 2010 study, it found that we burn about 50% more calories metabolizing whole foods versus processed foods, which is likely why clients break the weight loss plateau when they get rid of the diet foods and start eating more calories from actual fresh whole foods. Hmm. So there you go. Garden markets rejoice.
Yeah.
She said another tip that you want to stop is overeating healthy foods, which I guess you talked about that a little earlier, but she says when her clients fall in love with healthy veggies and things like that, whole grains. She said the only sticking point, sometimes they eat too much. She said, I recall one client who swapped fast food breakfast sandwiches for oatmeal, which is a good thing, but the oatmeal portion was too large given that he sat at a desk all day, and in addition to topping it with fruit, he combined it with a smoothie, which was really more of a meal in and of itself, too. So, you know, she said the whole foods, while they are nutrient-rich and they enhance metabolism, you can overdo it. So listen to your body's hunger and fullness cues. Use visuals to guide your portions, and don't overeat the good stuff.
Yeah.
Skipping meals, also, that's a bad habit.
Yeah.
You know, you think that's a great thing. Well, I just won't eat, and I'll lose a couple of pounds. You know, but it's a big deal. She says going long stretches without eating creates two unwanted side effects that undermine weight loss. First, you'll likely burn fewer calories as a way to compensate for not having fuel when you need it. And second, you'll up your chances of overeating at night when your activity level is low. And because it's impossible to retroactively burn calories, the unneeded excess gets sent straight to your fat cells. So timing is important. Several studies have found it's not just your overall daily calories, but also when you eat them that matters. She said a good rule of thumb is to eat larger meals before your more active hours, smaller meals before less active hours, and then never let more than 4 to 5 hours go by without having something to eat. That's typically why a lot of folks who are trying to get in much better shape and work out and whatever, they'll eat like 6 meals a day, but they'll be smaller
right. And
spread out and all have a little bit different kind of stuff in them too. Real quick, some of the other ones she said, counting calories, another thing you should probably stop doing. She said, you know, you can, I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing you do it, but even without limitations, calorie counting made women more stressed. Nobody wants that. Increase in stress causes spikes in cortisone, which revs up your appetite. And, you know, you see where we're going there.
Yeah.
Also, she said, shunning good fat. Drop that habit, too. Despite the best attempts of nutrition experts to dispel the notion that eating fat makes you fat, Americans have remained fat phobic. She said that, you know, people just look at everything and think that it's got a lot of fat in it. An avocado, it's got a lot of fat in it. You know, you might be surprised on some of that stuff. And then also emotional eating is another thing she said to drop. I assume she's pointing at women when she says that.
Okay.
I don't know that men typically emotionally eat so much, but, you know, if you're bored or angry or happy, anxious, stressed out, don't just grab a spoon and the jug of ice cream, you know. Don't do those kinds of things. If you drop those habits, you might have more success with your total weight loss plan. And we know we're going to need some weight loss here pretty soon after we eat and eat and eat for the holidays, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. You got anything going on over there? I know it's late in the season and
yep, I do
things
still have
slow
a few
down.
Things going on. Well, the Baird Christmas lights, they're going on now. They're on from 5 to 10:30 every night until January 1st, and they're set on timers, so they'll turn on and off automatically at that time. Again, they're on up until January 1st from 5 to 10:30. Also, if you still, for some reason, haven't gotten your Christmas tree, the Atlantic Lion Club still might have some at Hy-Vee in Atlantic. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 7:30, and Sunday, noon to 7:30, and right now their trees are half price. A holiday ball with local jazz band Popcorn Button is coming up on Sunday, December 21st. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic. Popcorn Button will provide 3 hours of live big band music in the styles of swing, polka, waltz, and two-step. And they'll have the dance floor open throughout the night, so dancers of all ages and abilities are encouraged. Jake Arbach will be on hand to help any beginning dancers get started with the basic steps. Dancers and listeners of every age are welcome, and there is no cost to attend. They will accept a free will donation at the door to cover the band's expenses. And if you'd like more information about the band or the holiday ball, you can visit them online at popcornbutton.org. Again, it's Popcorn Button playing at the holiday ball on December 21st from 7 to 10 p.m., and that's at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic. And we have some Red Cross blood drives coming up. In Manning on December 26th from noon to 6, that's at the Sacred Heart Church. In Audubon on December 29th from 11 to 5 at St. Patrick's Parish Center. The Submerse into STEM Day Camp is coming up December 30th. It's at the Nishna Valley Family YMCA in Atlantic. And again, that's on December 30th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free and includes a lunch, snacks, and resources provided. They do ask that you pre-register by December 22nd and that you bring a swimming suit and towel. And they have registration forms available at the Y, also at Cass County Extension Office, or even online at extension.iastate.edu/Cass. Again, it's Submerse into STEM Day Camp, December 30th at the Nishna Valley Family YMCA in Atlantic from 9 to 4. You can join the Cass County Conservation staff at Atlantic's Shelburgh Recreation Area on Saturday, January 3rd. They'll have 10-minute presentations regarding the Trumpeter Swans. They'll give those about every half hour starting at 11, and then the last one will be presented at 2 p.m. There'll be time to view the swans through spotting scopes and witness random swan feeding sessions. They'll have hot chocolate, cookies, grilled hot dogs, and other snacks provided free of charge, with donations being accepted, and that goes to the Swan Care. And the Shellburg Recreation Area is located on the northwest edge of Atlantic, on the north side of Highway 83. And if the weather is bad, or even if the swans are not at the park, they'll hold the program at the Atlantic Public Library from noon to 1, and they'll have a light lunch available. And the event is sponsored by the Cass County Conservation Board, Atlantic Parks and Rec, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and the Atlantic Public Library. Again, that's the Cass County Conservation. They're holding the Atlantic Shellburgs at the Atlantic Shellburgs Recreation Area on Saturday, January 3rd, and they'll be giving 10-minute presentations every half hour beginning at 11, and then the last one's at 2. Coming up also in January is ServSave. It's the National Certification Program for Food Service Managers. That will be held in Creston on January 12th. It's $150 for the course, and that includes 8 hours of class time, a manual, and the national certification exam. There is a $50 discount for Iowa Restaurant Association members, and anyone interested in preparing and serving safe food is welcome to attend. If you'd like more information on that, you can call the Union County Extension Office at 641-782-8426, and registration is required by January 6th. Again, that's ServSafe in Creston on January 12th, and you need to register by January 6th. Mobile Pantry will be at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold on January 24th from 10 a.m. to noon. The Mobile Pantry is a traveling food pantry that delivers food directly to families in need, and it's for a one-day distribution. The goal is to provide food where there is a high need but limited resources. This is free of charge, and they do ask that you please bring your own boxes and bags to carry the food. So again, that's the Mobile Pantry at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold on January 24th from 10 a.m. to noon.
Not a lot going on over the holiday season, but still some important things happening. A few other things here, too. This holiday, the Sweet Vale of Avoca Museum will have some Christmas nativity scenes of all shapes and sizes on display, and that'll be coming up this Sunday, December 21st. Folks can stop by anytime from 1 to 4. There'll be over 40 nativities on display at the museum, and that is a free event. It's open and free to the public to come by and view. So, again, that's at the Sweet Vale of Avoca Museum, and that's this Sunday, December 21st, from 1 until 4 p.m. And also out in front of the museum, they say they'll have a 1938 Avoca fire truck, and Santa will even be there. So if the kids didn't get that list done in time, well, they can stop by and still sneak it in at the last minute and whisper into his ear. So hope you get a chance to enjoy some of those activities going on there. Also, there are some free community Christmas dinners that will be held by the Lutheran churches in Audubon County. The Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon at 326 Leroy Street is having a Christmas Day dinner from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the Exira Lutheran Church is also having a free Christmas dinner starting at noon. They do ask for RSVPs at both of those locations, so you do need to call and reserve your spots there, too. But it's going to be turkey and all the trimmings, and it's on Christmas Day, and they hope to have some great crowds there for those events. It's no charge. Taxi service will be provided, and everyone in the communities are certainly welcome to attend those events, too. That's coming up on Christmas Day, so a chance to spend Christmas Day with some friends as well as maybe some family and some folks that maybe otherwise wouldn't enjoy it. Real good Christmas meal. Well, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Medical imaging is a powerful tool that provides you and your physician with a complete, accurate, and often early diagnosis. Hi, this is Barb Lytle, Director of Radiology at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. When physicians refer their patients to us, we focus on providing an experience that is safe, secure, and comfortable for each and every patient. Our radiology staff is highly skilled in virtually every imaging area, and we strive to provide the highest quality imaging services by friendly, caring people. You can be sure that whatever imaging service you are seeking, you will be treated by an outstanding team of medical professionals and technologists. We understand how important high-quality imaging is to your health, which is why we offer the most technologically advanced imaging resources like digital radiography and mammography, CT scans, bone density, ultrasound, nuclear medicine, and MRI scans. Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic, providing excellence in quality health care close to home.
All right, we need more. We need more. We got to have more, Stacy. Do you have
cowbell?
More? Yeah.
I do. I got some birthdays. I'd like to wish happy birthday to David Burns over at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn, celebrating his birthday on December 31st. So happy birthday to David Burns on December 31st. Also, happy birthday to Jerry Comas, celebrating her birthday on December 26th, and that's coming out from her family. And they're also going to have a party for her at the Exira Community Building on December 28th, and that's from 1 to 3. They ask for no gifts, please. If you'd like, you can send a car to her at 104 South Fairview, and that's Exira 50076. So her friends and family are welcome to her party. Again, that's on December 28th at the Exira Community Building from 1 to 3. No gifts, please. And happy birthday to Jerry Comas, celebrating her birthday on December 26th.
What birthday?
90th birthday.
Wow. Good for her.
Yes, yes.
Good for her. Well, I hope she has a great day with some family and friends then. And it's a great opportunity to celebrate. You had Christmas one day, and then
be back. And
yeah, we celebrated a birth on Christmas Day that was kind of important. And then you turn around and you celebrate another one the day after that's pretty important, too.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, what a good deal. I don't have any anniversaries over here to share. We don't have any new births to tell you about this time around. But, you know, if you want to send those things in to us, you certainly may. And just send them to us here at our regular addresses or email or phone or stop it by the studios. Mm-hmm. Or you can fold it up into a paper airplane and throw it into the breeze if you'd like. I don't know how good a shot you are, yeah. But if it gets here, it gets here. Homing pigeons, you know, whatever works. We have a lot of stuff that kind of slows down this time of the year, you know, things. It's kind of family time. You get to that week or two before Christmas, and there don't seem to be a whole lot of events happening to talk about around the area because, rightly so, it's family time. Mm-hmm. People should focus on a lot more important things close to home. I did have a chance to talk this week, though, with some folks up in Audubon County. Bob and Janet Nelson had a chance to visit with them here this last week. They're working on a project that's actually pretty neat. There has been a lot of talk in recent years around the state of Iowa in trying to preserve some of the things that are so rapidly either falling apart or just disappearing altogether. You know, things like one-room schoolhouses in a lot of different rural communities. For example, it might be the one-room schoolhouses. It might be different types of things like barns, you know, things like that that are somewhat historic that, you know, just disappear. So many times you just see them kind of fall apart and eventually just fall down, you know, out in the rural areas, or eventually something happens and they burn. Well, it's kind of that way, too, with some of the old wooden grain elevators. And they have one in Audubon County at Ross, in the community of Ross, that is about 130 years old. Wow. It was built back in the 1880s. It's wood, and it's actually still in relatively decent shape. It needs some work. But they would like to preserve that. And, you know, they sent out some notes and a pamphlet and things talking a little bit about why it's important. And, you know, this particular grain elevator up at Ross, they're very passionate about it. They bought this several years ago, hoping to be able to preserve it. And they said, you know, it's rich in history. It was built in the 1880s. It's one of the oldest elevators, wooden elevators, left in Iowa. Location's pretty good. It's not surrounded by a bunch of modern buildings and things. You know, there's railroad history there as well, of course, when you talk about the elevators. The crib construction is pretty interesting as well. There's all kinds of things involved there, too. The foundation is, the original structure had a stacked limestone foundation. So it's pretty interesting look to the thing. But the inside has really been largely untouched for a long time, too. When you look inside, boy, that's a lot of lumber. I don't even know what it would cost in lumber alone to build something like that. But because of its unique architecture, the original grain elevators, you know, were instrumental in opening outside commodity markets. You know, the old wooden grain elevators back in the day, when the railroads came through, and you know, they were talking about before the wooden grain elevators, farmers were basically using shovels and loading up bags of grain, throw them in the back of the truck, and then, you know, took them to market. Well, the grain elevators allowed them to be able to fill a lot easier, you know, mm-hmm. be able to do that, fill rail cars because they were built next to the rail lines, and then ship that stuff off. It opened up new markets. It made life a little bit easier in a lot of different ways. But they were also kind of a social and financial hub in a lot of small rural communities. as you can just imagine, that's where the farmers would gather, you know, and they would spend a considerable amount of time there while they were loading. And it was just a place where you could share a cup of coffee. You know, it was the Facebook of the 1800s.
Yeah.
You know, that's where people went to actually see each other face to face and visit about the events of the day and talk a little bit about what was going on. It was a social hub, but also the financial hub, because there's a lot of money that goes through there as well in some of those rural communities. Well, a lot of these old wooden structures, as you can imagine, are no longer there for different reasons. A lot of the reasons had to do with fires, because a lot of the old steam locomotives, you know, they spark. And grain dust, or perhaps just the wood that it was made of, a lot of those burned down, and they had a rash of them at one point. And then the insurance companies got involved because they didn't want to keep paying out on all these things. So they ended up building more steel and concrete structures, which is what we largely see today. But when you do find a few of these around, and there aren't a lot of them, but when you do find those around, they're pretty interesting structures. Anyway, they'd like to keep it. They'd like to save it. So they are working on a fundraiser to try to save this old 130-year-old wooden elevator in Audubon County, which they say could be the oldest one in Iowa, perhaps. It looks like that could be the case. But they've got the thing secured, and they've gotten a $25,000 matching grant from the Iowa Barn Foundation to help restore the elevator. But it gives them 1 year to raise the funds and then 2 years to get the project done. Now, they've had some folks who have volunteered. They've got a builder, a contractor, who's volunteered to jump in and do the work for them, and he's pretty excited about it. But they've got some folks who have volunteered time and the use of some of the equipment, like backhoes and excavators and skid loaders, things like that. But they also need lots of other stuff. They need brickwork, concrete. They need lumber, shingles, some corrugated steel, lots of other things, along with, of course, monetary donations, too. So what they're trying to do is generate some knowledge, some awareness, some interest in this project, and see if they can get some folks to donate enough money to be able to match that grant and make this thing more of a permanent structure. What they'd like to do is turn this into some sort of a local museum and fill it full of some different things that would be, I suppose, true to the period. So, yeah, it'd be kind of an interesting project, something a little bit unique there in Audubon County. So if you want to know more about that project, Bob and Janet Nelson have a website set up. It's www.saverosselevator.com. Save, S-A-V-E, Ross, R-O-S-S, and then elevator, E-L-E-V-A-T-O-R, saverosselevator.com. And you can go on there and you can learn a lot more. They have lots of information there. They have a place where you can email them there. They have a place there where you can click to donate if you'd like to do that too. So check it out if you're so inclined. And, you know, maybe if you're looking for something that you would like to help out this Christmas season, folks like to give during the Christmas season. You know, maybe this is a project that can stand up for generations to come and be a good learning tool. They've got some teachers interested in, if they get this project taken care of, kind of including that in some of the curriculum, too.
Oh, yeah, that's neat.
You know, if you grew up in a rural area, you should understand how folks used to live. I mean, history is very important. Local history should be very important. And learn how, you know, grandma, great-grandpa, learn how all those folks, you know, used to live. You learn a lot about where you are now by where your folks and grandparents and what have you came from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nice project. So I hope you get a chance to check that out. Again, saverosselevator.com. And if you'd like to know more, that's where you can go and find out plenty of information and maybe help those folks out, too, so they can make that project happen. Well, I hope everybody has a good Christmas season, whether you're traveling near or far. The weather's been relatively nice for us so far this winter. We had that little spell of snow and cold early, but we've really been spoiled these last several weeks.
Now,
it's getting a little chillier now, but if you do happen to travel, if you're holiday plans take you on the road here this Christmas season, we hope you drive carefully. There are obviously lots of people on the road, whether they're driving long range or short range. You're going to be on the road some. We're going to be on the road some. So, yeah, if you're going to be doing that, make sure you do it carefully and safely. Have a great time, but make sure you get back home so we can talk again very soon.
Yes.
You want to wish your family a Christmas wish?
Yes, I wish my family and Mike's family and all of our relatives, so many to list. I don't want to forget anybody.
I know.
So, but Merry Christmas, and to our listeners as well. Thanks for listening
to us. Yeah, absolutely. To my wonderful wife and my family, who largely can't hear me from this far away. Yeah, I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to many more happy times together. Hey, you go out making a Merry Christmas as well with your family and friends here this coming week. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.